yard there. These grapevines are around about 2 to 3 years old, and we're just getting them up to the second wire, which is a really good accomplishment. We're growing Cabernet Franc grapes and having an absolute ball doing so. Now, I've got a few photos to show you of Chateau Crothers, so if we can go to the next photo, thanks, Russell. This is in part this year's harvest. So I did a picking over 3 or 4 different occasions, and this was one of those occasions. So that's one of those big crates there full of the grapes. And so I was pretty excited this year. We had a bit of a bumper crop for those 6 vines. That amount there would have been from about 2 of the vines. So we'll move to the next slide. One of the things, there's my daughter, Bridget, and she's got a look on her face which says, "I'm really keen to try these grapes, but they're a bit yucky." And she kept telling me, "Yes, they're nice, Dad, they're nice," but her face was telling me something else, as they were going into her mouth and they were a bit sour and not quite as nice as what she might have and I might have hoped. But there she is. One of the exciting things about growing food in your own garden is that the kids get to enjoy it and be a part of it as they grow up. Our next slide, thanks, Russ. This is a reproduction. This is not an actual photo, but this is what we did with our grapes. I didn't get a photo of when we were doing it, but we stood on our grapes and we squashed out all the juice. It was this very nice feeling, actually, when you're standing on grapes with your bare feet and squashing them all down. The grape juice is a bit acidic, so it actually it's a bit uncomfortable afterwards, but that's all right. So we'll go to the next photo. And there's a little bit of the produce result there, a few bottles of grape juice. The grape juice actually tasted all right, believe it or not. I was surprised at how good it was tasted. That amount of grape juice came from that big bucket of grapes that you saw, the big crate of grapes that you saw there. So there's Chateau Crothers. So we can take those down. That's just a little bit of a brag sesh for me, I guess. But I want to share with you some really important facts about keeping wine that are important to us, and some of them actually important to the passage that we're looking at today in John 15. But these are just some interesting and fascinating facts about having a vineyard such as the Chateau Crothers. The root system of a vine is actually quite complex, and it will grow to a depth of more than 6 metres below the surface. It goes real deep to get as many of the nutrients and good stuff out of the soil as it can. Now, another fact is that the fruit, the grapes, must actually ripen on the vine. So unlike other fruits such as apples or stone fruit, where you can pick them a bit green or a bit unripe and they'll ripen on the windowsill or something like that, as soon as you pick a grape, that's it. It won't ripen anymore. They have to ripen on the vine. Now, another fact is that it takes grapes or vines a considerable amount of time to mature. 7 to 8 years, in fact, before the grapes are any good for winemaking. So the grapes that I'm getting on my vines at the moment are rubbish. They're good for not much at all, just mucking around with, really. But in 7 or 8 years' time, maybe, just maybe, we might have a few bottles worth consuming, but maybe not too. Another fact, soil is actually an important aspect of growing grapes, but not perhaps as how you think, in that often the poorer quality soil it produces better tasting grapes than really nutrient-rich soil. Some soil stress is actually okay for grapes. They don't mind that too much. The French have a word, and those that are French speakers are going to laugh at my French pronunciation, but the word is terroir. Is that, did I get that right? Terroir? Terroir? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sandra. Terroir. What that means is it's the type of soil that the vine is growing in. And if it's got a good terroir, then it means that the price for that wine will increase dramatically over a vineyard that might even be next door, but the terroir is no good. Another fact. Without regular pruning, the vine will grow in on itself and it will produce less and poorer quality fruit. Now, fruit is also only produced on that year's growth, not on old growth. Another fact, an abundance of fruit can actually reduce quality. So a good winemaker will thin out their fruit during summer to ensure a lower yield and a higher quality of fruit. And so we arrive today at this passage in John chapter 15 where Jesus is using this picture of a vineyard to demonstrate to his disciples how important it is that they stay connected to him. And for his disciples, they'd grown up in this agrarian society. They would have been well familiar and understood straight away what Jesus was meaning when he was starting to talk about a vineyard. They would have been familiar with the workings of the vineyard, the role of the gardener, the pruning and the nurturing of the vines that would have needed to take place. Now, interestingly, this motif of vineyard was commonly used in the Old Testament to describe the nation of Israel. So in Psalm chapter 80, we see Israel described as the vine that God brought out of Egypt and planted in the promised land. Isaiah in chapter 5 describes Israel as the vine, but one that had grown wild and was no longer bearing good fruit. In other prophets, it's often used, often described, Israel often described in this same way, this picture of Israel being a vine that is no longer producing good fruit. And here Jesus, in John chapter 15, is saying, I am the vine. He himself is the true Israel. His followers are members of God's people as they remain in him. Now there's a massive shift occurring here, and we easily miss this because we don't quite understand the context and the background to it, but what Jesus is saying is that it's no longer through a nation that God's glory is witnessed, and for the Jews, that's what they always knew. There's this shift occurring. But it's going to be through him, through a man, by whom God's presence is becoming available to all people. You see, what Jesus is trying to get across here is that for his disciples, and remember this is in the discourse between being in the upper room and going towards Gethsemane where he was going to be betrayed by Judas. Jesus is not going to be around much longer. And so what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples is that while physically he's no longer present, or while physically he will no longer be present, he will still be there for his disciples. His presence will still be there if they remain in him. And so as we look at this passage, and I think there's a question that's coming at us from this passage, is what does it look like? What does it look like to remain in Jesus? How does Jesus imagine his disciples, or how does he imagine us remaining in him, even though he is not physically present? I think Jesus uses this picture of a vine, this metaphor, if you like, to not only describe the shift that's happening here to his disciples, but also to demonstrate what it actually looks like to remain in him, how we remain in him. I want to take us back to some of the facts that I shared at the start of this message, the Chateau Carruthers facts, and I want to use some of them, three of them in fact, to explore what does it look like for us to remain in him. The first fact that I'm going to explore is that the fruit must ripen on the vine. The fruit must ripen on the vine. See, grapes stay sour if they're picked too early. And so it's important that we remain connected with Jesus. Because as soon as that connection is lost, the fruit stays underdeveloped. Eventually it's going to shrivel up and it'll die and it'll be no use to anyone. We've got to stay connected. To produce fruit, we remain in Jesus. How do we do this? Well, through prayer, fasting, through the other spiritual disciplines, through applying his word in our lives, through living out our faith in community or communities. Now, we all know this stuff, so we'll move on, won't we? Second fact that I want to share or explore a bit more of today is that it takes time for the branches to mature to be able to produce good fruit. It takes time for the branches to mature to be able to produce good fruit. In the case of a vine, it's about 7 or 8 years. And I will actually sit in this point a little bit longer today. Recently, my family and I went on a holiday to Halls Gap. And it was what you'd call a glamping holiday. Now, a glamping holiday is when you combine a bit of glamour with camping. So we weren't in a tent, we were in a cabin, like an on-site van type setup. For us as a family, it's a step closer to actual camping. We're going to get there one day. Some of you who have been around here for a while will have heard some of my stories about some of my family's experiences of camping in the past, and it's been horrible. But we still hope one day we'll be camping, and so this Halls Gap holiday was that bit step closer. And one of the things you notice, and one of the things I notice about this trip when we go away camping, even when it's in an on-site van, is that everything takes longer. Takes longer just to do whatever it is. Takes longer to prepare a meal because you don't have the usual kitchen conveniences that you're used to. Takes longer to get the kids in bed because they're all sharing the one room and they just want to talk and chat and muck around. Takes longer to get ourselves organised for something like a bushwalk because unlike at home, the clothes aren't hanged up all nice and neat. They're in a bag, and so you're pulling things out, trying to find the right things for them to wear. Everything takes longer. Now this is actually not a bad thing when it comes to holidays. But for me, as I get into that sort of wind down process, the first few days of holidays are always very frustrating. I get angry, cross. But eventually you start to accept your new normal and you find yourself in a new rhythm. You start to slow down, you start to relax, you start to watch the clock less. And on holidays, this is a good thing. We live in a culture of instant gratification, don't we? I'm reminded of the Queen song, you know, I want it all, I want it now. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you today. It was a song that was first sung over 35 years ago, but it continues to be an anthem for my generation and those of which have followed. I want it all, I want it now. We have this need for instant gratification. We don't do patience very well. Like a good winemaker, Jesus is into quality fruit. And to get quality fruit, it takes time, sometimes even years. Now, I've played a lot of cricket, and in cricket, when you're batting and you've got a partner up the other end of the pitch, there's three calls after you hit the ball. Yes, no, or wait. Yes to run, no to run, or wait. I want to see if it gets past the fieldsman. If it does, well, just call yes and we'll be off. Yes, no, or wait. When it comes to the production of fruit in us, I think God has at his disposal these three options. Yes, no, wait. This coming Tuesday, 23rd of June, marks the 5-year anniversary that Kate and I, with two kids in tow at the time, moved to Gisborne. It'll be 5 years on Tuesday that we moved to Gisborne. Now, prior to coming to Gisborne, I spent 2.5 years in the construction industry, and I've told this story before, but I think for the point of this message, it's worth telling again. For most of that time, I was hoping to get out of the construction industry. Wasn't where I felt I should be, but God had other plans. For most of this time, probably the last 18 months of my time in construction, I was hoping and waiting for the right conversation to unfold with a church in order that I could become the minister of that said church. And during that time, there were a number of false starts, approximately 15 different conversations with different churches, different mission agencies that occurred over that 18-month period, and God kept saying, wait. And I kept saying to God, I'm ready. I'm ready to produce fruit. God kept saying, wait. There was more maturing that he had for me to do. Now, I won't go into it all, but the maturing took place often doing this, digging and sweeping and all the jobs around the building site that I hated doing. But God was doing something in me over that extended period of time to prepare me. Now, we know the outcome. Eventually, Gisborne Church of Christ came knocking and the conversation unfolded. Kate and I sensed God saying yes. Happy days. It's been happy days since. In our success-driven culture, there are high expectations. High expectations placed on us by others, high expectations that we place on ourselves. It's often the case, I think, when it comes to how we approach our faith, that we feel like we have to be successful, that we have to work hard, that we have to strive, that we have to work to make things happen. And the end result is often frustration and disappointment. This picture that we've got today of this fact that the branches take time to ripen, and Jesus is talking about how we're the branches and he's the vine. I think it's almost like Jesus is coming alongside us, sort of taking us by the hand, and he's saying, just come on a journey with me. I know you're going to stumble. I know you're going to fall. But I'll be there to pick you up. Come with me. Let's take some time on this together. Because the fruit that I want to produce in you is quality, and that takes time. Jesus is saying to us to trust me. Be patient in me. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. Quality fruit takes time to produce, and that's actually a good thing. Third fact that I want to explore with you today, and that's that a healthy vine needs regular pruning to produce quality fruit. A healthy vine needs regular pruning to produce quality fruit. In this passage in John 15, God the Father is the gardener, and like the good gardener, he is a skilled pruner. Now, last month I pruned my grapevines, and you saw the photo up before. I probably knocked off 90% of last season's growth off my fruit vine, off my grapevine. Now, if you compare the current state of my vines with what they look like a few months ago, it's a very sad state of affairs at the moment. Because a few months ago, there was this abundance of growth. It was green with these beautiful purple grapes. In my opinion, at that time, 3 months ago, it was the best feature of our whole garden. I used to love opening up the blinds in the morning, looking out and seeing this abundance of fruit out on my grapevine. It was wonderful. The removal of all that growth was actually a bit painful. I knew it had to happen, but can't I just keep a bit of it, maybe? It doesn't work like that. I couldn't any longer luxuriate in this abundance of growth that was there because if the vine is to remain healthy, if it's to produce new growth and new fruit in the next season, it all had to be stripped back. There are necessary seasons of faith where God the gardener strips us back. It's rarely enjoyable. It's often very painful. I think the Father's pruning work unfolds in a couple of different ways. The first way is when we're talking about a faith community, such as this one, where branches are removed, where people from that community, though they appear to be healthy, they're actually not, or at least not healthy in that community for whatever reason. I mean, the disciples are seeing this happen before their very eyes at the moment. Judas has left them. He's gone out to betray Jesus. And when a person decides to leave the community of faith, their community of faith, it is usually a very painful process. Painful for them. Painful for the church. Now, it's a little while ago now, but our church has gone through a season or a few seasons of this in its history. And a while ago now, it's a number of years, 8 years, give or take, there are a number of people that left this church, and it was painful. It was painful for the people that left. It was painful for the people that stayed. But there was a group that remained. Some really loyal, faithful people, but importantly, healthy people. This church has grown over the last 5 years, and the growth that we've seen in this church can, in my opinion, be directly correlated and attributed to the platform of health that God established in those years where, on the surface, things weren't looking that great for this church. The pruning work of God, the Father. Now, there's a second way in which the Father prunes, and that is that he prunes us as individuals in terms of our own personal faith. The Father gardener uses trials and challenges, even conviction of sin, to cut out those branches in our own lives, our own faith, which are not bearing fruit or will not be bearing fruit. Now, no one likes this. This is not enjoyable. No one likes going through trials or challenges, but they are always presenting to us opportunities for us to go deeper in our faith, deeper in our trust, deeper in our reliance on God, because a healthy vine needs regular pruning in order to produce fruit. Now, a few weeks after Kate and I moved to Gisborne, I preached my first ever sermon at this church. Does anyone remember what it was? No, I'm just kidding. I know one person does, because Dave reminded me last week. Very first sermon that I preached at this church was this passage, John chapter 15. Now, I'm not sure what it says that we arrive back at this passage some 5 years later. Maybe we've made no progress at all. I think more likely it's the fact that this idea of remaining in Jesus is something that we need to revisit often. It's not something that we ever accomplish. It's something that we allow God and join with Him in the work that He's doing in our lives. This work of pruning and growth and production of fruit. So the challenge of this message that's coming at us today is really simple. Remain in Jesus. How do we do this? Through praying, through studying the Word, through loving others, through being patient in and with God's timing. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't really say what the fruit is that we will be producing. But we've probably got a pretty good idea of what that is from elsewhere in the Gospels and in Paul's letters. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples. Produce fruit by making disciples. In Matthew 6, he talks about being signposts to God's kingdom. This is the Lord's Prayer, where His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul writes to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5. There are fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking from John 14 and I shared about how the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, how He comes alongside. And I just want to bring that idea to your minds again today. Because I believe the work that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in us is a coming alongside work. A wanting to connect with us work, to relate, to lavish His love on us and to produce in us good fruit. Promise of the passage that we've looked at today is this. As we remain in Him, He will produce good fruit in us. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for this passage in John 15, for these words, remain in Me. And Lord, I pray that You'd be helping us today, helping us afresh to be that and to be living that. Helping us to understand that it's not the fruit that we're producing ourselves, it's the fruit that You're producing in us that matters. And the role that we have to play is to remain connected to You. Lord, I pray that within the life of this church, through seasons of growth, through seasons of producing a fruit, through seasons of pruning back, as the life of this church unfolds, I pray for us, help us no matter what to remain in You. And Lord, in prayer today, I publicly thank and acknowledge those that have gone before, the loyal, faithful few, whose faith has formed the foundation upon which this church has been built. Whose faith and trust in You has formed the foundation, the platform upon which this church can grow. Lord, I thank You for those that are with us today. Those that have been with us over the long haul. We honour them in prayer today. We thank You for them. And Lord, for the rest of us that are relatively new to this place, help us, Lord, to follow their example in remaining in you, in relying on you, in having faith in you, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, no matter what season we're in, trust and reliance on you. Help us to remain in you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.